We as human beings have very short-term memory. We don't remember the blessings of yesterday. We only remember, or we only focus on, the misery of today. And so here we are in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis, right? And everybody hates it and everybody's on edge, but nobody remembers the good things that came before all of this. You know, nobody remembers the blessings. Nobody understands that, hey, here we are, living and breathing and healthy, even with all this going on around us.
This is season 8 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. God's holy word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's word right now.
Now, our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Exodus. You might want to dog ear this page too, because this is our sermon text for today too. So chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, and is found on page 69 of the Old Testament. Let's hear from the word of the Lord for us today. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're continuing in our series called The Attributes of God. We're looking at who God is by what he has done. And we're learning about who God is because we are made in his image, and as image bearers of God, we are called to be like him in the world. Therefore, we already read this text. Let us now go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his wisdom. Let us pray. Almighty God, reveal to us your heart and your amazing generosity in this reading from your word today. Fill us with your spirit that we may gain wisdom and grow more in your image day by day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to ask a question, which is, what is the biggest meal you've ever had to make? Or what is the most people you have ever had to cook for? Let's put it that way. I see Ron here. Ron used to join us every Sunday morning, or one Saturday every month. The men at Pittman United Methodist Church would gather and cook a big breakfast for 200 to 300 people. You know, pretty good, pretty good. I was thinking about my time in the Army, and for anybody who served in the service, this might bring back some painful memories for you. But I remember being getting assigned to KP, kitchen patrol is what they called it. You didn't pull KP duty for doing good things. Yeah, that was not a reward. It was usually because my attitude didn't fit the attitude that my sergeant wanted me to have, right? And so he would send me to KP as a punishment. Yes, I went to KP often. So I went in the first time, and there were 4 big sacks of potatoes, and the mess sergeant told me he needed me to peel all of them for dinner that night. And we had about 150 guys in our company there in basic training. And so I started, and by the way, he gave me a knife to peel the potatoes with. Not a peeler, oh no, no, no. In the Army, they'll send you out into a field with a pair of scissors to cut the grass. You know, they don't give you the tool for the job. So he gave me a knife to peel these potatoes and told me, don't peel off too much of the potato, just the peel. Oh, it took me all day, and I'm just peeling and peeling and peeling and peeling. And at the end of the day, the mess sergeant came along. I only had 2 potatoes left. And he said, you know, I've been watching your technique, and you're really getting pretty good at it. And I'm thinking, you know, thanks. And he said, but I want to show you my technique for peeling the potatoes. And I thought, great, thank you for waiting till the end of the day when I have 2 potatoes left to show me your technique. By all means, you know, show me your technique. So he took the 2 potatoes and he dropped them into a machine, and they came out peeled the other side. And I thought, oh, you've got to be kidding me. All day long with that stupid knife, you know? I told you that to tell you this, that when I went into the mess hall that night, this is going to sound weird, but, you know, I was upset by what, you know, peeling all those potatoes. But when I went into the mess hall that night, I watched all these soldiers eating the potatoes that I had peeled. And I thought, I got a little satisfaction out of it. You know, that's very weird to say that, but it's true. I'm thinking, you know, I had a hand in providing a meal for these soldiers who have been working all day in the hot, hot South Carolina sun, you know. And so it gave me a little bit of satisfaction. Now, that's for 150 people. And like I said, the Pittman men would cook breakfast for about 250 to 200 to 300 people once a month. But this is a totally different situation. This is 2.5 million people. Now, where do I get that number? So in the book of Numbers, they ran a census and they counted all the men who were fighting age between the ages of 20 and 60. Okay, they were the warriors. All right, and they counted over 600,000. Now, if there were that many men who were of fighting age, then certainly there were also women and children as well. Most commentators estimate at this time that the entire nation of Israel was about 2.5 million people. Imagine the entire population of Philadelphia as a nomadic tribe, living in tents and wandering all over North America. Okay, that's the nation of Israel at this time. They've just been freed from bondage in Egypt, and they've just passed through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army was destroyed behind them, and now reality starts to sink in. And this is what they say in verses 2 and 3. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots. And when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Here's the problem with what they're doing. We as human beings have very short-term memory, okay? We don't remember the blessings of yesterday. We only remember, or we only focus on, the misery of today. And so here we are in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis, right? And everybody hates it and everybody's on edge, but nobody remembers the good things that came before all of this. You know, nobody remembers the blessings. Nobody understands that, hey, here we are living and breathing and healthy, even with all this going on around us, you know? And you know what I've taken from this is almost the same thing that Paul took in his letter to the Philippians that we looked at all through the summer. I have seen the gospel proclaimed. I have seen people coming to Christ, coming to faith in Christ online. It's a strange thing to say, but people who are sequestered and they're sitting on online and somehow they are exposed to the Word of God. I have seen people who were atheists, people who were practicing in lifestyles that were not conducive to the Christian faith, coming to faith in Christ and totally turning their whole lives around. It's an amazing thing to behold. And so we don't remember those blessings. We only think about our misery. It's the same with these people. Who here is an Eagles fan? Okay? You understand what this means to not remember. You know, we don't remember that they just won a Super Bowl a couple years ago. We only remember that they lost to the nameless Washington team last week. A team that doesn't even have a name. They lost. They were up 17-0 in the first half, and they tanked it. And this was another point for the rest of the game. It's football season, folks. You're going to be hearing a lot about the Eagles. I'm sorry. Prepare yourselves. So it's just, you know, I looked at that, and I said, you've got to be kidding me. And all people want to talk about all this week is how the Eagles lost. Not about any of the good things they've done before. It's only about what have you done for me lately. Right? That's a great Janet Jackson song. This is what these people are saying. You know, great, thanks. You delivered us from slavery, okay? You rained down 10 plagues on the Egyptians. We plundered the Egyptians. We left with all their goods. We walked through the Red Sea. You destroyed Pharaoh's army behind us. You brought us here to kill us. What in the world did God do to demonstrate to them that was his plan? Nothing. That was just, it's an imagination in their heads. And so the only thing that they thought of was, wow, we've got all these people here, again, 2.5 million people. How are we going to feed them all? You didn't think about that, did you, when you brought us out here? You brought us out here to starve us, to kill us. But faith is looking beyond our circumstances. Faith is looking at God and saying, here's a saying, you know, some people don't like this saying. I'm kind of iffy about it. But if you look at this text, it's demonstrated in this text. And the saying is this: if God brings us to it, he will bring us through it. You ever heard that before? It's not biblical. It's demonstrated in the Bible. It's not a verse from the Bible. But if God brings us to it, he will bring us through it. God didn't deliver the people of Israel from slavery to kill them in the wilderness. He brought them out to prosper them and to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, but they could not see it. They just couldn't see it. And so they murmured. The word here is murmured. I like a better word, is grumbled. They grumbled. You know, they he brought me out here. He brought us all out here to kill us. You know, that's what they were doing. But they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron. Okay, so verse 4 through 6 says this: the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them. Another word to say that is test, that I may test them or to prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. They didn't already know. They saw the wonders that God had wrought, and they didn't understand that this was God who delivered them from Egypt. Okay? But see, they were grumbling against Moses and Aaron as if Moses and Aaron were the only ones who brought them out of Egypt, as if Moses and Aaron were the ones who delivered them from slavery. You see? And so, because they saw Moses and Aaron, because we don't have food, it must be Moses and Aaron's fault, right? But the thing is, God provides even when we do not ask. See, they weren't asking for God to provide for them. They were just complaining. They were just miserable, and they were murmuring or grumbling or complaining. And without them asking, God said, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to provide for you. This is how I'm going to take care of you. He provides without even us asking. You know, nobody in the time of Jesus, nobody was praying to God, God, send your son to die for our sins. Nobody prayed that prayer. I guarantee it. Okay? But the evidence of Christ's coming is all throughout the Old Testament. They just didn't quite understand what the words meant. When Isaiah wrote, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so when Isaiah wrote those words, 700 years before Jesus was born, people didn't quite understand what it was pointing to. Now, we have the benefit of having seen Jesus on the cross. And we know that Jesus was the Son of God who the perfect spotless Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. We understand that now, but they didn't understand it even in Jesus' time. But nobody was asking for that. God provided it because that's what they needed. That's what we needed. And so he says here that he's going to provide, he's going to rain down bread from heaven for you. That's how he provides. That's how he provides. Now verses 7 and 8. In the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Look back to verse 2. It says, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. But Moses called them out. You're not murmuring against us. You're murmuring against the Lord. Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. See, grumbling against God's leaders is grumbling against God himself. And that might be a hard thing for you to hear. Because when we look at our leaders, either in government or our bosses at work or church leaders, whatever it might be, we don't always see them doing what we want them to do. You know, just last week at Amazon, they replaced our guard check. Now, our old guard check was decrepit and rusty and falling apart. And it was on a concrete slab that was not level. And so the whole thing sloped. It's awful. Hated it. You'd sit in a rolling chair and you kept rolling and you kept having a like a mountain climber, you know, roll, and it's terrible. It's just a terrible design. And I thought, geez, if you're going to replace the guard shack, you're going to have the thing off the concrete pad. Just level the thing out. Did they do it? Good. Somebody knew the answer. No, they did not. No, they did not. And I came in on, I think it was Thursday night when they finally had it up there, and they had bolted it down to the old concrete pad without leveling it. And I just, oh, I cannot believe the da-da-da. And you know, these are my managers. These are my leaders at work. And I'm grumbling against them. See, here's the problem. When God gives us leaders, He gives us leaders who are human. Human beings are flawed. I don't know if you knew that, but we're not perfect. You know, as your pastor, I'm bound to make mistakes. I've made quite a few missteps along the way, I'm sure. You know, I've tried not to step on anybody's toes. And if I did get out of line, I'm quick to apologize. But I'm going to make mistakes. Moses and Aaron saw that too. But grumbling against the leaders that God instills over us is also grumbling against God. You know, and that's what he says. So he says, we're not the ones who brought you out of Egypt. It was God. God did it, right? But here's the thing. Verses 9 through 12. Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. That doesn't sound a very promising start. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. See, he keeps saying it. It's not like he didn't know that they were complaining. It's not like he didn't know that they were murmuring. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Whoa. See, everything that God does is to bring glory to himself, right? And that's a good thing. For any of us, if we wanted to seek glory and only did things for our own benefit, that's not a good thing. But God is the God who created all this stuff, okay? God is the ruler of the universe because he made it, because there was nothing and he spoke into nothing and commanded everything to be, and it was. And so, this is quite a thing. He says, you shall know that I am the Lord your God. I just finished reading the book of Ezekiel recently, and I love that book because all throughout that book, he punctuates his prophecies. At the end of all of these declarations, he says, and you will know that I am the Lord your God when I bring all these things upon you. You know, the thing is, God wants us to know that there is a God. He wants us to know. And so he demonstrates for us over and over and over again. These people are murmuring against Moses and Aaron as if God didn't bring them out of it. But so God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rain bread from heaven. I'm going to give you meat in the evening. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God. In verse 13, it came to pass that in the evening quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning a dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. The last thing I want you to see is this, that God provides in ways that we don't understand. They had a logistical problem on their hands. They had 2.5 million people out in the wilderness, and they had no idea how they were going to provide for them. God had a plan. What happened? Quail came into the camp, and at the end of the morning, there was a dew on the earth, and the dew, when it lifted up, became this bread from heaven that they'd never seen before. The word manna literally means, what is it? So they said, we don't know what this is. What is it? We've never seen anything like it before. And that's the point. God provides in ways that we don't understand, and we never would have asked, right? You know, if it had been up to us, if we had the city of Philadelphia wandering around in the wilderness, right? We would probably say to ourselves, okay, let's get a couple of tractor trailers and drive down to the Piggly Wiggly. And I don't know, why did I say Piggly Wiggly? You know, Piggly Wiggly was my favorite store, my favorite grocery store when I lived in the South. And Erin, when she went down to Virginia, she found a Piggly Wiggly, so she sent me a picture. And so it was in my head. Sorry about that. You're getting a Piggly Wiggly, you're getting the Eagles, you're getting the full treatment today. So, but you know, they go down to the grocery store and they'd load up their tractor trailers with food, and then they'd come back and then they'd distribute it to everybody, and that would be their plan. But that wasn't God's plan. You know? Think about the story we read just a month ago in Matthew chapter 14. Okay, we read this on August 2nd as part of the lectionary reading. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, it's Jesus feeding the multitude. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Send all these people away because it's evening and they have nothing to eat." And Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We don't have anything but 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Well, give them to me." And he took the bread and the fish, and he blessed them, and he broke them, and he gave them to his disciples, and he distributed to all the people, and everybody ate and was full. It wasn't like everybody just took a little bit. Everybody ate and was full. And when they were done, they gathered up all the pieces of the leftovers, and they had 12 baskets full. Because God provides in ways that we don't understand, and he provides in ways that we never would have asked. You know? Again, nobody was praying for the Son of God to come and give his life for our sins. But that's exactly what God did. Because God provides in ways that we don't understand. So what can we learn from this account today? God is a God of abundance. Everything around us, everything we see and everything we don't see belongs to him because he made it. And he made us in his image, not to destroy us, but to glorify him. And so God provides out of the abundance of all that he has. Do we thank him for what he provided? Do we thank him for the food on our table, the air in our lungs, the shelter over our heads, the clothes on our backs? Often we see those things as things that we have provided for ourselves. The people of Israel were completely dependent upon God's abundant provision. And yet they continue to complain against God and to accuse him of delivering them from slavery just to kill them. How many of us do the same thing? That we say to God, "You rescued me from my sin by sending your own son to die for me, and now my life is miserable." Well, we might not say that with our words, but if you look at Christians and how they act in front of a camera, we're saying that with our actions. Today, let us consider all that God has done to rescue us from slavery to sin and death, and the many ways he provides for us out of all that he has to offer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all that you have given to us and all that you provide for us day by day. And you provide for us in ways that we couldn't imagine and in ways we'd never think to ask. But Lord, you are a creative God. And you are a loving and generous God that gives to us. And sometimes you give us more than we need. But sometimes we have more than we need so we could share with others. You use us, you bless us to be a blessing. And so, Lord, let us always be grateful for everything that you give for us. Let us never grumble or complain about our circumstances, but look beyond those things to the eternity that you offer to us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are so grateful, Lord, for the many things that you provide for us. If we haven't thanked you lately, Lord, it's to our discredit. But we lift up to you great thanks for everything that you give to us. You know, none of us are hungry. We don't have, we have shoes on our feet and clothes on our back, and we're warm even in this cool weather. We're sheltered from the rain. There are others who are not as fortunate, Lord, and so help us to look around and see those things that you would have us to see, that we could be your hands and feet, that we could, out of the abundance that you provide for us, that we can continue to provide for others. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. And God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Petricktown. If you don't have a church family to call your own and you live in the area, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Of course, if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family. Hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.